Hi, ladies. Welcome to the Olives and Arrows podcast, where we discuss women's health, marriage, fertility, pregnancy, birth, motherhood, and much more from a biblical worldview. While we might not agree on every theological issue, we are unified in the truth of the gospel and recognize that this cannot be separated from our experiences. It's a gift to be able to share these things with you today. I pray that you will be encouraged and that God will be glorified. Keep in mind that the things we discuss are personal experiences. You may relate to the information, but every woman's body is different. You should always discuss your health and wellness practices with a trusted healthcare provider. Please note that on this podcast, we do discuss details regarding our bodies that you might want to discuss with your kids before they hear them on our show. With that in mind, let's get started. Hi, friends. It is so good to be back with you after a long time away. We decided to break this into two parts. So today you'll be hearing part one of our story, just our journey to pregnancy and the first part of our birth story with Garner. So we hope you enjoy it and stay tuned for part two. All right. Welcome to the Olives and Arrows podcast. Today is going to be a little bit unique because I'm actually recording with my dear husband. We're going to be walking y'all through the story of our journey to pregnancy, as well as the birth of our son, Garner. So I have my husband here ready to interview me.
Hello, everybody. My name is Andrew Smith. I'm Danielle's husband. My preferred pronouns are he, him, or they, them, whatever you want. Just kidding. I will be reading some questions that Danielle will be answering, and we will be responding to them together and just having a little dish over here. So it's going to be interesting because I've not done this before. So
so bear with us, right?
Also, disclosure, we are recording this in our closet because that's just how we do things over here. So
Yeah. The closet is the sound studio of the Smith household. We also have our baby's monitor set up on the floor. So you're just getting into real life with us right now. All right, babe, you want to kick it off?
Yes. First question, and it's the most important. How did we meet?
Oh, well, I'll give it from my perspective. So it was Father's Day in 2015, and we have a big dysfunctional but wonderful family, and we met through my family members and Andrew's friends. So my sister-in-law's brother is actually one of Andrew's very best friends, and they grew up together and were good friends and roommates in college, and they, you know, connected us, and the rest is history, right, babe?
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
No. Yeah, my buddy, his dad was kind of a father figure to me whenever my dad left the scene growing up, and he was going to be there for Father's Day because of the family connection and everything like that. So we got an invite, and I guess people have been trying to pair us up behind the scenes for a little while, and that was the first time we'd ever heard of each other or met each other, and it really hit off, and we went out the next day, and about 6 months later got married, and you know.
No, we got engaged.
Engaged.
6 months later.
Sorry.
Can you imagine?
I'm focused on having my Phoebe Judge voice. This is criminal.
And this is criminal.
Yeah. Anyway, no, not married, engaged.
Yes.
And then married.
Yes. So we met and then were married all within about 11 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Next question. How was our journey to marriage? What was it like? How was our journey to marriage? Ask the next part
later.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Pause.
So I think our journey to marriage was kind of a whirlwind. We were so in love and just extremely excited to get to know each other. And I think we had so much in common and just like common goals. And we also both felt like we were never going to get married, which was weird. Did you feel like that?
Yeah,
too?
No, that was definitely like, not that long before we actually met each other, we both kind of swore off dating and just kind of had a moment with the Lord of like, all right, Lord, gone down this path of trying to find the person and all that stuff, and it just not really working out. So we're just going to kind of swear that off and trust you with things. And not that long after we both did that without knowing each other, he put us on each other's lives. So yeah, it just, like you said, we really meshed really well together and just had a lot of common beliefs and knew what we wanted out of life. And the Lord just used that to bring us together.
Yeah. I think we're both just at a place where we didn't want to mess around anymore as far as like dating, just to date, or I don't know, just kind of floundering through life. Like, that's what I feel like I was doing up until, I don't know, maybe a year before I met you, was just like feeling like I didn't really have a direction. And so just trusting the Lord with like, okay, I'm not searching for a spouse. I'm hopeful for a spouse, but I, you know, I'm just going to fully surrender that. And then we met, which was such a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, and things were definitely expedited because I was working at a summer camp at the time, and we were going to be traveling over the southeast of the U.S. taking camp to different churches and stuff like that. So we met each other 2 or 3 weeks before I left for that, and it was going to be all summer. So we got to know each other really fast during that preliminary period. And then during the whole time that I was traveling, per the camp rules and stuff like that, we were only allowed our phones, you know, one day a week or so, just so we could really focus on the kids and all that stuff. So on that one day, we really crammed in a lot of our communication and cut out a lot of the honeymoon fluff that happens when you're dating sometimes, and really just had the important conversations early and got to know each other very well over a very short period of time.
Yeah. I would say like that time leading up to when you left too was just extremely, it was just extremely intentional. Yeah. And I think we really laid it all out on the table and said like, okay, this is my testimony. This is where I'm coming from. Here are my fears and insecurities. And that was really unique.
Yeah. So I know I said slash pause, what was it like? But I think we just covered what it was like. So
I think so.
Question 3, what was our journey to pregnancy like?
Well, let's take a pause there and talk about marriage for a second, because we had this like whirlwind romance of like getting to know each other very quickly, getting married very quickly. Let's kind of talk about those early marriage days, shall we? Yeah. So what was that like for you?
It was messy and it was not all like not bad. Yeah. But like there was growing pains, you know, just like any marriage. I think you're learning how to live with another person after being on your own for a while. And like, it's, you know, there's definitely learning curves, but I mean, we had a blast, and you know, there were things that we didn't deal with whenever we were dating that we had to face down, and or didn't deal with when we were engaged as well. And you know, had to face down together, but the Lord was faithful and brought us through the bad times as well as the good. And, you know, has given us almost 6 years of an incredible marriage. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that we'll jump into on a later podcast, is just really take a deep dive into marriage and, just where we've come, you know, where we've come from. And it's been an adventure. Every day. I love being married to Andrew Smith.
And I love being married to Danielle Lynn Smith. sorry, stupid. Anyway, what was our journey to pregnancy like? Would you care to respond?
Yes. Yeah. So whenever we got married, I think very quickly we were both like, okay, let's have a baby. Yeah. There really wasn't a lot of time that we just wanted it to be just the two of us. I don't know why. I know a lot of married people really want that, and they really want time to like get to know each other and, you know, just enjoy it and travel and all of those. And you hear those kind of reasons, and I definitely can respect that. But at the same time, I think really quickly the Lord just instilled this desire for children in our hearts.
100%.
So really like 6 months after we got married, I started looking into just kind of what it might be like to get pregnant with PCOS and thyroid issues, which is those are two things that I struggle with. And so I knew kind of going into it that it might be a little bit harder for us to get pregnant. And so I very quickly did some research, and we prayed about it and met a midwife who is still a friend to this day. And we really love her, and just kind of had a frank conversation about sort of what we can expect. And so began the long journey.
Yeah, no, a very long journey. And it was, you know, it was difficult because, you know, obviously we had machinations of having kids sooner than we have. And, you know, a lot of our friends and family were blessed to have multiple kids within the amount of time that we were trying. So that was difficult at times to rejoice in the life that they were bringing into the world. And, you know, just what a blessing it is to have more children, especially, you know, fellow believers having children and everything like that. It's just such a great thing, while also kind of wrestling with our own insecurities of, you know, I don't want to say jealousy, but, you know, you've been trying for so long and struggling with seeing other people have what you so desperately crave and trying to still be faithful to the Lord in the midst of that, while you're trying to figure out how we're going to make this work.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was definitely a journey. Yeah, I'm very thankful we're past that stage at this point. And obviously you were talking about your PCOS and stuff like that, your thyroid. It didn't help that at the beginning of our journey, you found out a little while after that you'd been misdiagnosed with your thyroid stuff for years at that point, which had just kind of thrown your body completely out of whack.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, had you on some meds and stuff like that, that really you should not have been taking, and, you know, really just kind of threw a wrench in things. So we kind of had to build back from that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to give a little bit of background on that, when I was, I think like 12 or 13, I was diagnosed with, just like hypothyroidism, and no like major autoimmune diagnosis or anything like that at that point. But pretty soon after, I started struggling with like irregular periods and just like feeling off and just not feeling right. And so my mom took me to the OBGYN, as you did back then. And I'm not saying it was even that long ago, but that was in the period where like tons of like birth controls were coming out, and there were all these commercials that made it look like it would fix your life and all of these things. And so I went to the OBGYN at 14 and was put on birth control. I remember one of the first ones I took was called, I don't know, even know if I'm allowed to say it, but it was
just do it.
Seasonal. I'll say that it was one that was supposed to give you a period only once every season of the year.
Nice.
So you had four periods a year.
That's
and
very healthy.
Very, yeah,
good for you.
And if y'all don't know about kind of that whole thing and the effect on your fertility and all of that, definitely go back to listen to Dr. Vavilov's part two episode. She really breaks down birth control and kind of what it does to your body. And so I definitely recommend looking into that. But anyways, leading up to, you know, adulthood, I just did a lot of things that, you know, the conventional medicine world would have no issue with. But really, I think it just slowly kind of destroyed my body. And then by college, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease, which is a thyroid-related autoimmune condition. And ultimately, we believe that I was misdiagnosed and that I actually have
Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And that's, I mean, I could literally list the symptoms and I have every single one. So, yeah, spent a couple of years just kind of floundering and trying to figure that out and, heal and, really kind of dove into that even further once we started trying to get pregnant. But, yeah, and then just to kind of go into our trying to conceive journey, we started with just like, you know, tracking ovulation and things like that. Found out pretty quickly that I wasn't really ovulating. And then when we thought I was ovulating, we would like try real quick and then just be like very disappointed whenever nothing would happen. And then we kind of moved into looking into like fertility specialist kind of stuff. And so we worked with a specialist for a while and she made a lot of recommendations that we just weren't comfortable with. She's really a sweet doctor. And so we got, I don't feel like it was wasted time because we got some good insight into like what my fertility kind of snapshot looked like.
Well, and it definitely played a part in shaping how we wanted to do, you know, your pregnancy care and everything like that.
Yeah.
Later, like once you were pregnant, because mm-hmm. like you said, she's a fantastic lady, everything like that. But there were some things we disagreed with that kind of shaped the direction we wanted to go. So it was, yeah. It was a formative experience for sure.
Yeah. I think like something that, you know, you hear a lot and it has definitely been our experience too, is that the more like modern American or Western in general medicine kind of doesn't provide the cure, so to speak, that you're looking for, you start to look into like more of the alternative, like traditional medicine space. And that's definitely been true for us.
Yeah. And, you know, different things work for different people.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just take that with a grain of salt, but that was definitely what ultimately was the solution for us, was following a more traditional method and getting away from, well, I won't say what I was going to say, but getting away from, the more American method, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was also an opportunity just for us to really dig into like, how did the Lord intend for our bodies to function? I think for both of us, mm-hmm. would you say that's true?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for some reason, and I say for some reason, like tongue in cheek, because I know that it was the Holy Spirit, but for some reason, we just kept saying no to every fertility like treatment that they would offer.
It just never quite sat right.
Yeah.
And like you said, in hindsight, it was definitely the Lord giving us some wisdom, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, obviously being here now.
Yeah.
You're good. Garner's great. Like.
Right. And that's not to say that like all fertility treatment is bad or that there's no place for it ever. I think that there definitely is. And I think modern medicine is a huge blessing, but I think just in our situation, the Lord just was pointing us in a different direction.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody's bodies being different, things like that. Some people mm-hmm. need different things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I'll go to the next question. How was it finding out that we were pregnant?
Yeah. So this was 4 years into our journey of trying to conceive. I don't think we really talked about how long it took, but overall it was about 4 years. And, it was obviously incredible. So I'll tell the story of how we found out. So it was actually my sister's wedding day. And I took a test and I had just been feeling pretty nauseous and like gross. but I knew that we had had like a pretty strong ovulation the month or, you know, a couple weeks before.
Well, we were finally starting to see some of the fruition of
totally.
A lot of the changes we've been implementing.
Yes.
And, you know, there was more cause now to think that this might be the right time.
Yeah.
Than any previous time.
There was definitely like fruit of our labor beginning 100%. To show.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen overnight. Like it was a good 2 years of like making better mm-hmm. health decisions and lots of good supplements and working with like more natural providers and things like that. So yeah, we knew that I was ovulating finally. I wasn't having a period 4 times a year. I was having a period every month and just things like that. And so I took a test on my sister's wedding day and there was a very faint second line. And I mean, at this point I had ovulated like 9 days before. Like it was so, so, so early, but that faint second line was just like the sweetest and most exciting thing that I have ever seen, I think. And I took a picture of it and sent it to my friend who's a midwife, the same midwife that I had met, you know, 4 years earlier. And I said, is this a second line or am I losing it? And she was like, that definitely looks like a second line, but let's test again tomorrow and see where we are. And so I decided not to tell anyone, which was, you know, that's pretty out of character for me. Like me and Andrew are, we tell each other everything and we're like over communicators, I would say. But just because it was my sister's wedding day and matron of honor and Andrew was a groomsman, I really wanted to make sure that we were able to focus on them and, you know, not distract from what was going on that day. So I just carried that knowledge with me through the whole day. And I remember like standing on the stage that they were getting married on and thinking like, oh my goodness, these shoes are really hurting my feet. Like, I hope it's not hurting the baby. And, you know, those are the kind of like irrational things that you think when you've been struggling with infertility for 4 years. But so babe, do you want to tell how I told you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, no, I melted. We can just get that out of the way right now. I freaking coming out of the bedroom, right, fixing to go to work. And
the next morning.
Yeah, the following morning. And she had
Summer Moon some other coffee place.
It was Sweetwater.
Yeah.
Local plug. Go to Sweetwater. she had Sweetwater out there and she had we're big fans of the TV show The Office. The American version, not the British version, because that's trash.
No offense. Don't be triggered.
Yep. We're, you know, USA. So anyway, there's a line whenever Jim and Pam find out that they're pregnant. Spoilers, if you haven't seen it, they get pregnant. where, you know, they're at a kickball game or volleyball game or whatever. And Pam gets injured. They go to the hospital. They find out they're pregnant. And Dwight, another character, is on the phone with them the whole time asking, you know, do we need to send in the subs or whatever? And Jim gets on the phone and says, Dwight, send in the subs. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the, you know, the reveal that they got pregnant and everything like that. So
yeah.
Exciting. So I pick up Summer Moon and there's something written on the cup. It says, Dwight, send in the subs. And I'd just woken up. So my brain wasn't really tracking quite yet. It was like, why the heck is this on my cup? Like what is happening right now? And then I noticed there was pregnancy test right next to it. So I'd pick it up just out of curiosity. It was honestly probably going to throw it away.
because you had like, seen 1,000 negative pregnancy tests all over our counters this, for 4 years.
What is this pee stick doing on our cutting board? So I was going to throw it away and then I start putting things together and realize that Danielle's filming me and realize what's happening and mm-hmm. just turn into a ball of goo. it was incredible. Just the shock of finally having the opportunity to be a parent and the fear that comes with that as well of like, you know, you don't think about like, and I guess this will probably get into the next question of you know, what was pregnancy or how was pregnancy, but mm-hmm. the fear that comes with every single day, during pregnancy of like, oh my gosh, like, is he developing okay? Is he healthy? Is she healthy? Like everything like that, of just that immediate feeling of responsibility that floods over you of, you know, we have to take care of this baby, and two, like, I have to take care of my wife now because she's growing this baby. And yeah, it was wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we definitely had so much joy in that moment, and we were like crying and hugging and just, I don't know, just like so excited. But the very second that I stopped recording, I was like, it is so early. There is no guarantee that I'm not going to have a miscarriage. Like, you know, I have PCOS, like, and thyroid issues. It's very possible that this baby might not make it, but like, we're going to celebrate this today. And so that was kind of like a sobering thought, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And I don't know that that was the right thing for us to do, but I think like we had just gone through so many disappointments leading up to that.
Yeah, it felt almost too good to be true. And mm-hmm. like, I just remember asking her, like, is this for real? Just so many times.
Yeah.
Just because it seemed so improbable after everything that we'd been through.
Well, and by God's grace, we've never been through a miscarriage. I mean, truly by God's grace. And
that was. Yeah.
So we're very blessed to have never walked through that. And we definitely like hold space and understand that, you know, that's something that so many go through, but we're grateful that we were able to maintain the pregnancy.
It was definitely a exercise in patience and an exercise in submission though, the whole time, just trying to trust the Lord with this child's life and with Danielle's life. And just, you know, knowing that every day, every second that we have is a blessing from him. And, you know, he has the power to take and give. And, you know, if he deems that something should be a certain way, you know, even if it ends in tragedy, like trying to live with open hands to that. And
yeah, and know that he's still good.
Yeah.
And he's still sovereign.
Still sovereign over everything.
Yeah.
So how was pregnancy?
Yeah. So pregnancy was interesting and beautiful and challenging and terrifying and wonderful. I think it was so many things at once from the very beginning. Immediately, I was very sick.
Yeah.
I mean, on my way to pick up the coffee that I had them write dad on, I had to stop and throw up in a parking lot.
It was rough. There was so many meal preps that were made at somebody else's house because the smell was a little too much.
Yeah. Andrew's in law enforcement. And so he has to prep a lot of his meals. And so there were times where he would be making like ground beef or vegetables or something. And I would make him go prep at my parents' house a couple of blocks away. So definitely shout out to my mom and dad for letting Andrew cook so much in their kitchen during those, first 24 weeks. I was sick for 24 weeks.
Yeah. Let's talk about freaking how weight gain usually during pregnancy. Talk about weight loss.
Oh my goodness. I lost so much weight. It was horrible.
What was it? Oyster crackers, saltines? What was?
Yeah. Saltines.
Yeah. She was subsisting on saltines and water that whole time.
Yeah. And it was so hard because like I know way too much about nutrition, but thankfully I think I had like some really good like mineral and nutrient stores before I was pregnant, so praise God for that because Garner's super healthy. But anyways, so I would say I was super sick, and one of the first things that I did when I found out we were pregnant was I called my friend, a super sweet midwife that I've mentioned already a few times. And she recommended that we go ahead and start running some labs. And so basically 2 days after we found out that I was pregnant, I went and had my progesterone tested, my HCG, my thyroid, a few other things. And we saw really quickly that my progesterone was too low.
Very low.
And she said, okay, let's just wait and see if it increases. And so about 3 or 4 days later, we tested again, and the progesterone had gotten even lower.
Mm-hmm.
The HCG was trending upwards. So if you don't know, like, HCG and progesterone are kind of the two markers that they want to see increasing with pregnancy. HCG is the hormone that gets picked up on pregnancy tests. So that was increasing. And so, like, I was consistently taking pregnancy tests to make sure that the second line was getting darker, and it was. So I knew that at least something was going in the right direction. But the progesterone, unfortunately, was not. And so we had a really honest conversation after that second progesterone test where our friend and midwife was kind of like, listen, it's not looking great. We know that you can get pregnant, so praise God for that. But, you know, we're not really expecting good outcomes from this pregnancy. And it just kind of shattered our world.
Yeah, it was a hard thing to hear, and mm-hmm. angering to hear, I would say.
Yeah.
And she wasn't the only person who told us something similar to that.
Yeah. And I don't think she did anything wrong.
No, she was trying to be realistic.
She was trying to be honest.
Yeah. And I think that is very fair. And had it gone another way, I would have appreciated that honesty.
Yeah.
I think it definitely felt like having our bubble bursted just a hair.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it's been 4 years of trying, and, you know, now you're saying that he might not make it. It was hard to reckon with.
Yeah. And she mentioned that there are doctors that will help supplement progesterone, and they're called NAPRO providers, and they're actually associated with the Catholic Church. And I think Dr. Vavilov and I went through that a little bit on her episode as well. But anyways, they're just these really incredible doctors that see life as life from the very beginning, which mm-hmm. is extremely refreshing, because most OBs won't see you until you're at least 8 weeks along. Sometimes they'll see you at 6 weeks, but they wouldn't give you progesterone unless you had multiple miscarriages.
And that's what we met from other people, from OBs that we saw and stuff like that.
Yeah, I called pretty much every OB in like the greater Houston area.
Yeah, and generally the attitude was, well, let us know if there's a miscarriage, and then
next time.
Yeah, we'll get you ready for the next baby.
Yeah.
Or they didn't even say the next baby, because
they don't even say baby at that point.
No, which is super disappointing.
Yeah.
That's the attitude that prevails in the community, but, you know, that's another topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, at that point, we kind of had a mission just to prove people wrong. Just because we had been told several times over at this point to not expect Garner to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even know he was Garner at that point, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It was a weird balance of like not getting too attached, but also like fighting for our child.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to not be completely destroyed
yeah.
if we had a miscarriage. And honestly, like, there was nothing that we could do to prevent us from being completely destroyed if we had a miscarriage. So that's one thing I'll say, like, that if the Lord blesses us with another pregnancy, like, I don't think I'm going to try to, like, I don't know.
Harden your heart.
Yeah, kind of. Because there's just no love quite like the love, you know, you feel towards your child, even when that baby is days into development.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so upon the recommendation of that midwife, you know, she said, there are these doctors, you might be able to get into one, you know, just kind of look into it. And the doctor that I ended up finding is the son of the founder of this particular method.
And with that, I'll start the next question.
Oh, yeah.
What was finding a care provider like?
Yeah.
So we've already delved on that a little bit, but continue with that thought.
So, and we'll talk about a care provider for just maintaining the pregnancy. And then later we'll talk about a care provider for the birth.
Right.
But for just maintaining the pregnancy, I mean, whenever I saw his name and did a little bit of research, it was just like, oh my goodness, Lord, like, what are you doing here? Like, is there any way that this doctor will see me? Like, you know, just trying to submit to that, but also being like determined. And so I called his office and I explained the situation, and the staff there was just absolutely incredible. And, you know, I think that most of them are believers, and I definitely have that feeling. I don't know if that's actually true, but it just felt like the lady that I talked to was a Christian. And she was like, okay, well, let me talk to the doctor and I'll call you back. And I was like, you know, okay, like, please call me back. And because at this point I had already called like probably 30 plus OBs trying to get anyone just to like write me a prescription for progesterone. Yeah. It was honestly so infuriating.
Well, it felt like the timer was ticking on the time bomb.
And, well, and it was. Yeah. It was ticking. Because
if we had not gotten the help that we needed, Garner probably would not be here today.
No. No. And I mean, just God's sovereignty all over that situation was incredible to witness. But
absolutely.
Anyways, so she did call me back really quickly. And she said, okay, so he's going to see you on his lunch break on Monday or whatever. And at this point, it was like a Friday or a Thursday. And it was so clear that we were doing the right thing by fighting for this little boy's life and fighting for this pregnancy that we had worked so hard for. And, you know, God just really gave us the stamina and wisdom to get through that. And it's truly by his grace alone, because if we would have just gone by what every single OB would have told us, like, we wouldn't have him today. Yeah.
There was definitely a militance involved in the whole process. I think if we had been more passive and, you know, just done what we were told, it would not be the way it is now.
Yeah. And I think like the story is always a sensitive topic, because I think like so many families end up in our shoes and it ends up differently. I mean, we have dear friends who they were in the exact same place as us. I, you know, helped point her towards a resource to get on progesterone. They got on progesterone and they still had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
You know, like it happens. It's not a perfect formula, but it did work for us. And we're just so grateful for the Lord for providing in that way. But anyways, all this to say, jumped on progesterone. It did what it was supposed to do. I was actually on it my entire pregnancy until I was full term. My progesterone never regulated. So normally you would be on it for like 12 to 16 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually had to be on it the entire time. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that we went to a doctor that was willing to like really put in the work with us, in order to help Garner grow and to make it full term.
I'm definitely thankful for the for everybody who helped me out by being the one to give her the shots, because this guy stuck her with a needle once and almost passed out.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there were even times where I would do my own.
Yes. Shots. I mean, this, it was like a freaking sword the size of this needle. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I started with like these like suppository kind of things, and then went to pills and then did shots, and it was always a challenge to find like which form of progesterone my body would accept. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the pregnancy, I was just on the pills because I couldn't tolerate anything else. Like,
no.
my muscles were like so hard and painful.
Well, yeah, you
because put, of the shots.
You put one shot in, and then that area that you applied it to would be out of service for the next week and a half.
And it would
at
be
least.
Hard.
Yeah, no, it would welt up.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was strange for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Having to alternate locations that she got the shot. So after a few weeks of that, she was just sore all over because yeah. You know, it was all these different injection sites. So.
Yeah. So I think I did the shots for like 8 weeks of the pregnancy, and it was really rough. But anyways, so yeah, aside from the progesterone though, I mean, and the sickness, we stayed really active my yeah. whole pregnancy. We walked almost every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, did some light exercise. Whenever I could eat more than just saltines, we ate pretty healthy, but
yeah,
I will say there was a lot of Chick-fil-A involved
as
100%.
Well. No, it,
as there should be.
Make no mistake, we were not. And, you know, if you're that person who's out there, you know, running with a weight vest on while you got a baby in your belly,
bless
more
you.
More power to you. Yeah. That's awesome.
Bless your heart, as we'd say in Texas.
Yes. That was not us.
No.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we were walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice, gentle walks.
Right. Which we do recommend walking.
Yes.
Walking's good.
Yeah. So. I don't know. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, I
was pretty...
we didn't have a super pregnancy.
No.
I think a lot of people on podcasts, like, they have these pregnancies that they're like, I loved it. I didn't even notice that I was pregnant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like I said, more power to you. If that was you, then you're living your dream. But mm-hmm. for us, you know, there were some rough days, I'll say that.
Yeah, especially towards the end. So ultimately we ended up going to almost 42 weeks. I think I was 42 weeks, 5 days whenever Garner was born.
Yes.
But let's not get there too quickly. I want to go back to finding a provider. Mm-hmm. So we've always loved the midwifery model of care just yeah. because we have this dear friend who's a midwife. We just have always had better experiences. Like, and again, that's not everyone's journey,
but for sure.
That's what we went through.
There's a lot more emphasis on informed consent
yeah.
in the midwifery community, which is something we're very much more comfortable with, mm-hmm. Feeling like we didn't have to fight for our rights if there mm-hmm. was a complication or something like that, but being able to declare like, this is exactly what we want to happen
mm-hmm.
and then respecting that.
Was
really went a long way with us,
and trusting them as the experts,
yeah,
but knowing that they didn't have things that we had chosen not to do as something that they wanted us to do.
Right. There was no ulterior motive. Sense. They were very much on board with how we wanted to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously them being the professionals, if they had a recommendation to the contrary, they would voice that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it was our decision.
Yeah.
Which I think was, like I said, it went a long way with us.
It was a blessing for sure. And, you know, the more that we've like come away from the birth and, you know, talked to people about our birth story, the more we found that like there are providers within hospitals that are the same way. Like, you can find that experience wherever you end up having your baby.
It's definitely not one or the other.
Just
shop around, you know,
yeah.
find the right place. 'Cause there's also midwifery places around us that we wouldn't feel comfortable going.
Totally. Totally.
You know, it depends. There's good and bad on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, there's good doctors, good midwives, bad midwives. Like, it's just, you really have to like figure out what it is that you want, you know. And I think another big thing for us was our midwives were all believers. Uh-huh. And we wanted to talk with Christians about this life, you know, that I had in my belly, because it wasn't just pregnancy tissue, yeah, or whatever.
That was kind of one of the conflicts we found was in the medical community, there was a desensitization and kind of a hardness in regards to Garner. And, you know, a lot of people were very uncomfortable with referring to him as a baby, declaring that he was, you know, a form of life that was valuable and mm-hmm. made in the image of God and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the midwife side of things and, you know, doulas and everything else that's on that side of stuff, finding somebody who had a Christian perspective was equally as difficult at times, because there is a strong root in Eastern ideologies when it comes to midwife.
New age stuff. Yeah. Too. You have to be careful.
Yeah. And you know, that's not anything we were interested in, implementing just for the sake of having a midwife. Finding believers who were able to provide that care for us was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Garner is currently doing cartwheels in his crib.
It certainly looks like it.
Yes.
But I think we can keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, we had a hard time making the decision between, you know, hospital, birth center, home birth. I think originally we always envisioned a home birth. Definitely like since we started trying originally, the midwife that we've referred to so many times already is a home birth midwife. Mm-hmm. And so I think we always just thought, oh, we'd go with her, we'd have a home birth and like call it a day. But I think that whenever everything happened with the progesterone stuff and like just the complications at the beginning of the pregnancy, we were both like, I think we need a middle ground.
Yeah.
And so we ultimately landed on a birth center. And the birth center that we ended up going to is a Christian birth center. All the midwives are Christians. They do all their own like labs and ultrasounds and all of that in house. And they're like two blocks away from the hospital. So it just really worked out for us, I think. And we loved our experience there.
Yeah, no, they did a great job. And obviously, we'll get into it mm-hmm. with the next question. But being close to a hospital was a good thing. So I guess, is there anything else you want to touch on with that? Or do you want to dive into the next part?
Yeah, I think the only other thing that I would say, just as, I don't know, a word of advice, I guess, is we also really recommend a doula.
Mm, yes.
It was a great investment. I think like whenever you're planning your pregnancy, birth, all of the things, no matter where you end up, like even if you're having a scheduled C-section or whatever it may be, like look into a doula, because we had this incredible Christian, wonderful doula named Amy. I don't think she'd mind me saying her name, but who was just so integral in our experience, like, you know, prenatally and obviously during the birth as well.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
So how was your birth?
Okay. Well, birth was beautiful, raw, and really, really hard. So I guess we'll kind of take it from the top of like the birth story, so to speak. So I had a couple of weeks of prodromal labor. So false labor, basically. Although I don't like to call it false labor, because Prodromal labor is not pointless. It really is the body preparing for what's to come, and
serves a purpose.
Yeah, it does serve a purpose. And so I think like looking at it as false labor when I was going through it just made it like so depressing. And I had had a couple of little things like before going into true labor that were hard. Like I struggled with these crazy migraines and, and things like that, that we had to navigate. But, ultimately, yeah, we were right at the end and we were already overdue. And due dates are, you know, really neither here nor there when it comes to when the baby actually comes. Right. But whenever I hit 41 weeks and 4 days, we officially went into labor. And so I had contractions starting at about, I don't know, I want to say like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on June 24th. Yep. And we really had had a full day. And when the contraction started, we were both just kind of like, it's not going to happen. Like, didn't really think it was the real thing, especially because we had been trying all of the things to like get labor started and nothing was really working. I mean, you name it, we tried it, and including like smoothie recipes that I had found and just like silly things.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. But it did get more and more intense, and intense in a different way than it did when it was prodromal. So that night we actually went to dinner with some friends, and we were like timing my contractions at the table, like between conversation, and our friends are still like, we cannot believe that you came to that dinner, but it was so fun. And it was our favorite restaurant, so we had to go.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I was finally not sick.
And it turned out being the first time we had non-meal train food for a while after that.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah, which was, praise God for meal trains.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
We would not have survived.
No, that was fantastic.
Yes. Yes. But, anyways, so started contractions about 4 PM, 3 or 4 PM, the 24th of June. And, all the way through the night, that night was very intense for me. We really tried to let Andrew rest as much as possible because Andrew was going through some training for the law enforcement program that he's in. And it was very intense. And through this whole process, the last couple of weeks, I think it's always an interesting fact to mention. There were several days that Andrew would not have been able to attend the birth had we had Garner on those days.
Yeah. Due to my schedule with some of the trainings I had to attend.
Yeah.
It was integral to my career,
like, yes,
in order to keep my peace officer certification and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have had to have been there.
So that was a very real conversation.
Yeah. And we had known that a while back, like, hey, these dates are no go. So let's pray it doesn't happen.
Don't have the baby those days.
Exactly. Just, you know, hold your thighs really tight and think happy thoughts.
Yeah. Exactly. Good vibes, right?
Exactly. Yes. We believe in vibes.
Yeah. Vibes are so great.
Yep. And crystals.
Not anyways.
Crystals.
Crystals.
Kidding. Anyway.
Anyways.
So it was the real deal. Fell in a day that thankfully I was able to be there for the whole thing. And that was a huge blessing. Take it away.
Yeah.
So we arrived at the midwifery.
So the 25th, I had been laboring pretty much all night the night before, and contractions were pretty random my entire labor. So like I would have contractions that were 3 minutes apart, but then I would have 7 minutes apart. Mm-hmm. And I was texting my doula through this whole thing. And just because I had prodromal labor for so much of the last couple of weeks of pregnancy, I just didn't really trust what was happening.
Yeah.
But I could tell that like they were more and more painful and more close together and never consistent, but that's okay. Like that doesn't happen for everyone. So yeah. I'm here to say if your contractions are never consistent, you will have the baby eventually.
Yep.
But it got to the point at about, I don't know, like 1 or 2 o'clock, the 25th, that they were just too intense for me to labor at home anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it was me and Andrew and my mom, and my mom was at my birth as well. So the three of us and then our doula. So we had all four of us and then our midwives. We met at the birth center and I was terrified that it was going to be like, okay, you're at a one or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because I had been at like a 2 or 3 4 3 weeks by this point. So, and I'm talking about dilation here, but, the midwife checked my,
for those of you who don't know what dilation is,
when the cervix ripens and opens for the baby, isn't that great? So when the midwife checked, I was at a 7 and Andrew and I immediately just started bawling.
Yeah. It was so encouraging, especially like, just praise after
God.
Yeah. After the amount of waiting that we had been doing recently.
Yeah.
Knowing that it was finally go time.
Yeah.
Was,
fantastic. Like we're not going home. We're going to have a baby today. Yeah.
Like this is within the next few hours, he will be here. Like,
yeah.
I truly hope that today's episode was an encouragement to you. I pray that you will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Please subscribe, share, and leave a rating for this podcast. I could not do this without you. See you next time.